We're holding on Hayo Morales, the top line.
Omar Rav, Megillah Bismana Koronos HaFilu B'Yachid. When you read the Megillah in its time, meaning Rashi says on the 14th, before we can talk about whether the same thing would be true also on the 15th, for Mokafim. Anyway, Koronos HaFilu B'Yachid, you can read it even B'Yachid. Everybody's reading it on the same day anyway, Rashi says, so therefore you have Pirsum in Nissa, even if you're not doing it with Minyan. But Shaloi Bismana, if you're doing it not in its time, Rashi says this means, for example, when the villagers do on the 11th, 12th, 13th, on the Yom HaKnisa, then Basara, then you need to have a minion, because then you need Pirsum and Nisa. Ravasi Amar Bein Bismana Ben Shaloi Bismana Basara. Ravasi says that no, whether you're reading it in its time or not, you need 10. There's a number of different ways of explaining the two different opinions over here. One, first of all, are we specifically talking about, for example, when the villagers that read early, that in that case, for example, some Mepharshim ask, then why is Rav talking about that? In Rav's times already, that concept of the villagers reading early didn't exist anymore. We said that only happened, basically, that was only, in Rav's times, they were still declaring Rosh Chodesh, but the Jewish people are not mostly in Eretz Yisrael anymore. We said it has to be Shanim Ketiknan, the years are established the way they're supposed to be, Yisrael, Shurin, Alav Nosen, and the Jewish people, for the most part, are in Eretz Yisrael. In Rav's times, you didn't have that anymore. So in Rav's times, the villagers wouldn't have been reading on the earlier days anyway. Why is he bothering mentioning it? So therefore, partly because of that, and partly because of the next piece of Gemara, a number of Rishonim explain that actually what Rav is talking about when he says Bismana and Shalai Bismana, he's talking about, we talked about yesterday, that if Purim comes out on Shabbos, that you have to move up the Kriya to Friday, or according to Rebbe, even Thursday, whatever. That's when Rav is talking about Shalai Bismana, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. That when you're reading the Megillah, not in its normally established time, meaning instead of you're reading it on the 14th, you're reading it on the 13th, which is Friday, or on the 12th, which is Thursday, as the case may be, then it has to be Basara.
As opposed to
what Rashi is saying, that we're talking about when the Kfarim read, that they have to have a minion. According to those other Rishonim, it would come out that the same din applies, even that this is not just to the Kfarim, but even to the big cities if they're reading on Friday, if they're moving up the Kriya from Shabbos. Then there's also a discussion when Rav is saying that Shaloi Bismana you have to have 10, and Rav Asi is saying whether Bismana or not you have to have 10, are they saying Le'ikuva or not? Are they saying that you must have 10, and if not, you cannot be Yotze the Megillah reading at all? Or not. Rashi, for example, says that not. But even Rav Asi is not saying you must have 10. If you can't find 10, you still read the Megillah, you still have the mitzvah. You just, the mitzvah is to read it with 10 in order to have Pirsum and Nissa. L'chachilo b'di'evet, basically. But you have some Rishonim who explain that Rav, what he's talking about, Shaloi Bismana, and Rav Asi about all times, is talking about you must have a minion, and otherwise you're not Yotze. I think what it says, Hava Ugda, one time happened, V'choshle Rav Lahod Ravasi, that one time Rav was actually concerned for this opinion of Ravasi. Even though Rav himself held that when you're reading the Megillah Bismana, you don't need a minion, nevertheless, one time he was careful for the opinion of Ravasi. Now, meaning that he insisted on having a minion. He looked around to get 10 people. Which that brings to yet another Machalikus Rishonim. Who is the Halacha like? Is the Halacha like Rav? Maybe, yes, he was careful about Rav Asi's opinion. Doesn't mean he actually holds like him. It just means he wanted to be Machmir when possible. Or does it mean maybe he changed his mind and now he agrees with Rav Asi?
Wouldn't that be that he was trying to be
Well, Rav Asi is saying that you can, according to the explanation that Rav Asi is saying you must have 10, and if not, then yes. But it's not a leniency. Rav himself held that you could have just had fewer than 10 people, but he insisted on following Rav Asi's opinion, even though so that's the question. Does he himself now hold of that, or is it just that he was doing it to be on the safe side, basically? In practice, most of the poskim do paskim like Rav. That's when you're reading the Megillah Bismana, you can read it even with less than a minion, and that's how we do nowadays. It's very rare nowadays that you read that there's a concept of reading the Megillah Shaloi Bismana, because for us who don't live in walled cities, Purim never comes out on Shabbos. Only in Yerushalayim can that happen. We don't have the concept of the Kfarim reading early because we said, you know, first of all, doesn't apply nowadays, and second of all, the villagers don't come in Monday and Thursday anyway to the big cities. The only case that it talks about Shulchan Aruch is if you have a person who is, for whatever reason, is not going to be able to read the Megillah in its proper time on Yudalad Adar. Let's say they're going on a trip and they're not going to have a Megillah with them, then they're allowed to read it early.
So what is better, to read without a minyan on Galat or to wait until if you have a minyan on
No, no, no. If you're in a regular city, you can't read Megillah on Tesvav.
No.
Your Dalet is your deadline.
What?
If you haven't read the Megillah by your Dalet in a regular city, you've missed your chance. The question is the other way around. What's better is to read it without a minion on your Dalet, or to read it with a minion on your Gimel or your Beis or your Aleph, whatever, before you go on your trip. The halacha in practice is like Rav, that if you're reading it Shloi Bizmana, then you should have a minion. It's still not absolutely required though. Question is, did Rav really say that when you're reading the Megillah Shaloi Bizmana that you're supposed to have a minion? Purim Shachalias B'Shabbos. Purim comes out on Shabbos, which again for us can't happen nowadays, but in those times it could. Erev Shabbos is manam. Then Erev Shabbos is their time. Now, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Erev Shabbos manam, who bar Shabbos manam? What are you talking about? Shabbos is the time when the Anshei Knesset HaGdola meant the Megillah is supposed to be read. Yes, we have Gzeira D'Rabba that we said yesterday. We can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because people might carry it, and therefore we have to move it back to Friday. But you can't say that Friday is the real Zman for the regular city to read. That's only the 13th. Isn't it logical then that what Rav is saying is like this? Shaloi bizmanam kizmanam. That what Rav is saying is when you read the Megillah, shaloi bizmanam, where in this case you're reading it on Friday, which is not the normal time, is the same as reading it in its time. Maz manam afilu b'yachid, which when you're reading it in its time, Rav is saying that you can read it even b'yachid. Af shaloi bizmanam afilu b'yachid. So even Shloi Bizmanam on Friday, you would be able to read it B'yachid. So how is Rav saying, if you're reading it Shloi Bizmanam, you need 10? If you're reading it on Friday, by definition that's Shloi Bizmanam, we're assuming, because it's not the actual Zman. The actual Zman is the 14th, which is Shabbos. So you're reading it Shloi Bizmanam, and yet Rav seems to be saying that it's exactly the same as if you're reading it on the 14th. So Gemara says, Loi. No, he does mean that you need to have 10 people for the Megillah. Ela, my Erev Shabbos manam. So what does he mean by saying the time of these cities on Erev Shabbos is la puki midu Rebbe? It's to tell us not like Rebbe. Like yesterday we had that Rebbe said, once the regular cities are pushed out of their place, once they can't read on Shabbos anyhow because of Gzeira D'Rabba, Yudachul Yom HaKnisa. So Rebbe has said, you may as well push them back to the Yom HaKnisa. Instead of making it Friday, you may as well make it Thursday. That he doesn't agree with. Kamash Malon, this is what he's telling us. The Erev Shabbos is manam. No, Erev Shabbos is their time, not Thursday. You don't push it all the way back to Thursday, right? So the halacha, well, the halacha technically is like him, but again, I mean, nowadays Purim of Prozis, the Purim 14th, can't be on Shabbos anyhow, so it's a moot point.
But if it was, it wasn't pushed away automatically, it would be like
then it would be on Friday, then it would be, yeah. The practical halacha nowadays is you can read the Megillah B'Yachid, and you make the brachas before it as well. Tosfos discusses whether you make the brachas before it, with the yachid as well, the halacha is you do. The bracha after it, though, which we'll talk about in the second parak, there are different deists that are showing him whether you're supposed to say that when there's not a minion after you read the Megillah, whether there's a minion or not. The final halacha, the accepted halacha, is that you don't say it unless there's a minion. The bracha is before it, you say regardless. Yeah. The brachas after, that's what I'm saying. There's a machlokas for showing him, and that the accepted halacha is that you don't say the bracha afterwards, harava to Reinu, unless you have a minion. Yeah. Mishnah says, Ezehi Ugdola, what's considered a large city that we said that they read on the 14th? Koshiyash ba'asara batlanim, that's a city that has 10 batlanim, which we talked about yesterday. The 10 batlanim, so Rashi says, they're the asara batlanim, they're bottle from work. Rashi's expression is like this. The first Rashi on the Gemara, Shein B'Kalim M'Malachta, they're bottle from work, V'Nizonim Mishal Tzibur, they're supported by the Tzibur, K'deli is Mitzurim B'Tfilah B'Metz HaKnesses, in order that they'll be available at, for the Tfilahs, for the Minyanim in Shul. Dama Ma'am, Masechta Berachos, Kivin Shabbat, Kodesh Berachos, B'Metz HaKnesses, because he said in Berachos that if Hashem comes to Shul at the time of davening, V'Eini Moitzah Shama Asara, and he doesn't find a Minyan over there, then Eibishter is upset. So like this, you have the Asar of Batlonim that are there to avoid that issue. Some of you were asking yesterday why we're calling them Batlonim. Seems like a derogatory term. One explanation actually based on this is since they're Mavatal, the Avisha's anger, we call them Batlonim. But on a more simple level, they're bottle from work. We're actually saying they're bottle from work. This is their job is to be there. And again, we talked about yesterday that the Rambam says that it's more that they're available for Tzarchit Tzibur. The Ran, I think it is, quotes from Shultz, but actually why Dabka 10? It's not just because you need 10 for a minion. It's also because those 10 actually do perform important functions in the community. I remember the whole list, but let me see. You have three Dayanim, you have three Dayanim, and you have one Shliach based in. You have a teacher, you have a sofer, you have two people to collect tzedakah and another one to distribute it with them. So you need three people when it comes to the distribution of tzedakah, etc. So you wind up with 10 people that way. So they're not just, like Rashi is saying, sitting in shul all day until the next minion. They're actually accomplishing things on behalf of the tzibur.
They're paid by the
tzibur? That's what Rashi is saying. But he's only Michel tzibur. Yeah, they're sustained by the tzibur, yeah.
What is it that Hashem has to find 10 people in the shul?
That's the Gemara says over there. Miyat Toyas, but Hashem is upset. Madu Abati Veinish. Why did I come? Nobody's there. Yeah.
Only one person. In other words, one person would be able to defend.
No, but I mean, you need 10 for a minion. So. Yeah. So if the city has a sarabat lonim, then it's an irgdola. Pachas mikana. If it's less than that, how is a kfar? Then we consider it a village, and they are entitled to read on the 11th or 12th or 13th. Which even though we said yesterday, ultimately we said the reason why they get to read early is because they supply food to the big cities. In this case, they're not. But still, the Chum didn't want to make distinctions like that. Once we make a rule for the Kfarim, then it applies across the board. And again, there are some of the Rishonim we'll talk about. I mean, nowadays, this kind of thing of having a Sotah Batlonim is not necessarily a very common thing. Unless maybe according to the Shultz's explanation that it's 10 people who are doing various things for the tzibur, but still they don't necessarily sit in shul all day. But if you're talking about a city where at any of the posted times for davening you can come to shul and you'll automatically find a minion over there, that's considered the equivalent of Asara Batlonim, which is the case in most fair sized cities. Mishnah continues, Be'elu amru makdimin v'loy ma'achrin. It's as far as these things, namely the reading of the Megillah, and the Rif adds also the announcement of the Shkolim, that they would announce the Shchodesh Adar, that everybody has to start bringing their Machta Shekel. It's because of that we would be part of Shkolim, as we'll learn in the last parak. So those are the things that we say makdimin v'loy ma'achrin, that we make them earlier and not later. Like we said, the Megillah, you can't read it on the 14th, so you read it on the Yom HaKnisa, the 13th, the 12th, whatever it is. Similarly, when it comes to announcing the Shkolim, also if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, then we do it. Then they make the announcement before that. In terms of Parshas Shkolim, there's a similar idea we'll talk about in the last parak that if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, that is Parshas Shkolim. If Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out during the week, then Shabbos Parshas Shkolim is the Shabbos before that. Aval, but here are some things that have to be delayed rather than pushed up. Zman atikonim and Hagros Abachad Va'am, the time when the kohenim and the people would bring wood, as we learned at the end of Tinus a week and some ago, v'tishabov and tishabov v'chagiga and bringing of the korban chagiga v'hakel, all those things ma'achrin v'lo makdim, and all those things we delay if they come out on Shabbat, we don't move them up. The Gemara will talk about with most of them the reason why. Interesting thing over here that Rashi says when we say Tisha B'Av, we don't only mean Tisha B'Av. The same thing applies to the other facts also. And Rashi mentions Shivas B'Tamuz and Asara B'Tevis. So Rashi says, so why does the Mishnah specifically single out Tisha B'Av? Is because Tisha B'Av is the most not the most characteristic, but as we learned in Rosh Hashanah, that the other ones theoretically are optional. If there's a time when there's no Gzeres HaMalchus, but there's no Shalom either, then Rotsu Misan and Rotsu Ein Misan, and they it's optional whether to fast. Why? So nowadays it's not optional anymore. Everybody accepted it as a given. But theoretically, Shivasavatamas and Asaravatavis and Sumgadalia depend on depend on the situation at the time. Whereas Tisha B'Av, because as we learned at the end of Tainus, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed on it twice, therefore you don't have such leniencies with it. And there were even Rishonim who learned that even during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, they fasted on Tisha B'Av as opposed to all the other ones which were L'Sas and L'Simcha. So interesting, though, Rashi does not, first of all, that Rashi does mention Asara B'Tavis. There's a very famous thing that everybody always quotes when it comes to Asara B'Tavis. The Rebbe used to quote it in Sichas innumerable times, that the Avudraham writes that if Asara B'Tavis were to be able to fall out on Shabbos, which nowadays can't, according to our calendar, you would fast on Shabbos anyway, because it says B'Etzem Hayom Hazeh. We see from Rashi here that Rashi disagrees with that, though. Rashi says that if Asara B'Tavis comes out on Shabbos, you move it to the next day. You move it to the 11th of Tavis. You don't fast on Shabbos. We talked about this of Avudraham before, yeah, but this that Rashi disagrees with that is a new thing that we see from Rashi over here. Second, he's entitled to disagree. Yes.
But
is there a reason? No. He just says, Asara B'Tavis. But B'Pashas, he would say that none of the other fasts are as serious. If even Tisha B'Av gets pushed off, how much more so all the other ones? It says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, very nice. It says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's a nice drasha, but it's not binding la'halacha. The other interesting thing is Rashi does not mention Sum Gedalia. And Mepharshim say there's a very good reason for that. Sum Gedalia, Rashi doesn't have to say you don't move backwards. Obviously, you don't, then be on Rosh Hashanah. But necessarily, you have to move it to the next day. Anyway, so all these things you push off for reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. Even though when it comes to reading the Megillah, we move it up to one of the previous days rather than delaying it. Those days, Mutoran behesped of a tainus, you're allowed to do espedim, you're allowed to fast, or Matanos Levyonim, and on that day you give Matanos Levyonim. As we said yesterday, that you do Matanos Levyonim at the time you read the Megillah because the Aniyim are looking out for it. So suppose it happens that you're in a village and they read the Megillah on the 12th, let's say, because Purim comes out on Wednesday, so you're reading on the Yom HaKnesset 2 days before that, you're allowed to fast on that day. Even though you're hearing the Megillah, you're allowed to fast. It's not considered Purim for you. Amr of Yehuda, Amasai, when does this whole rule apply about the Kfarim reading early? Makam Shenechnasin B'Sheinei V'Chamishi, in a place where the villagers come in to the big cities on Monday and Thursday. Abba Makam Shenechnasin L'Sheinei V'Chamishi, but in places where they don't come in Mondays and Thursdays, Ein Koreinu Esel B'Zmano, then they can only read in its proper time. Because anyway, they're going to have to, like this, if they come in Monday or Thursday and they're coming in for Kriyas HaTorah or for Din Torah or whatever, we'll allow them to hear the Megillah at that time anyway. If they don't come in on those days, they're anyway going to have to come in on some day in order to hear the Megillah, so that day might as well be on Yudal Adar itself. The Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, who are the Asara Batlanin? They are Asara Batlanin, Shebebesa Knesset. They are the Asara Batlanin who are in Shul, like we said. We said, Pe'elu Omer Makdimin V'lema Achrin, that when it comes to Megillah reading and announcing Shkalim, we move them up. Specifically, the Gemara is focusing over here, though, on reading the Megillah. My time. Why is that? That we don't delay it. Why don't we say if your Dalad falls out on Shabbos, then the regular cities read on Tetzvav, or if Tetzvav falls out on Shabbos, then Bnei Yerushalayim or the other walled cities should read on Tetzayin. Amar Shmuel, Amar of Abba, Amar Shmuel, because Amar Krov, Lo Yaver. The pasuk says it should not pass. We talked about that on the first blot. So yeah, on that. So the your dollar for the regular cities and test love for the world cities. That's it. That's the deadline. The Amr of Abba Amr Shmuel. Here's another thing. Since we said one thing that Abba said in the name of Shmuel, here's another. Minayin she'en monin yomim l'shanim. How do we know that you don't count days as part of a year? Meaning, Rashi says like this: a year when it comes to lunar months, you have a lunar month, a lunar month, 29 and a half days. 12 of those make up 354 days and some hours. There's really no such thing as a year of the moon, though. I mean, you know, 12 months for a lunar year is, so to speak, arbitrary. You could just as well call it 10 months. You could call it 20 months, whatever. There's no such thing as a year when it comes to the cycle of the moon. Conversely, there's no such thing as months that have to do with the sun. All the months that we use in the secular calendar, all there is a year. So a year we usually think of as 365 days. When we're saying that you don't count days towards a year means when you have 12 months that are 354 days, you don't say, well, let's finish up the year by having 11 extra days that don't belong to a month. You don't do that. A year, the units of which a year consists of are months, not days. How do we know this? Shenema, l'chodshei hashana. It says to the months of the year.
So it's Luna.
So therefore, that's why we have to have. We have 12 months, and then you're 11 days short, and after 2 or 3 years, we made up a month difference, and therefore we add an every year, or therefore we add a 13th month. If it weren't for this, though, what we would do is every year we would say, fine, a year consists of 12 lunar months plus extra 11 days thrown in, and then the next year begins 12 days into the month. But like this, we can't do that because the pasuk says l'chad she'ashana, which means chadashim atamayin l'shanim. You can only count months toward the year. You cannot count years. You cannot count days toward the year. A year, as the units of which a year is made up, are months. Because it says l'chad she'ashana. But Rabbanan de Kesri nishmed b'shumer of Abba Amru, the rabbis of Kesari, it's Desaria, said in the name of Rav Abba, Minayin Shein Machashvin Shoyes L'Chadashim. In the same way, how do we know that you don't count hours towards the month? Same idea. A lunar month, so the average length of a lunar month, 29 and a half days, 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. So again, you might argue the same thing then, that you count from molad to molad. When the time of the molad comes, that's it. It's the beginning of a new month now, regardless of what time of day it is. No, we don't do that. Shenema ad chodesh yomim, because the pasuk says up till a month of days, which means yomim at machashav chadashim. You can only count days towards months. V'at machashav shoyes chadashim. You cannot count hours towards months. That is why we have, for the most part, that the months alternate 29 and 30 days. Because since it's 29 and a half days, so some months are going to be 29 days and some months are going to be 30 days, and that way you even it out over the course of a year. No, to fit the moon. A lunar month from one molad to the next is about 29 and a half days, right, plus the extra halakim. Let's ignore them for the moment. Right. So that means 2 months equal 59 days plus an extra hour or so. So how do you get 59 days? You make 1 month 29 days and the next month 30 days, and so forth. So sometimes we have to have an extra chodesh mole because those 793 halakim gradually add up. Sometimes we need to have an extra chodesh chaser because we need to make sure that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur don't fall on the wrong days of the week, lo yadu roish, etc. But the basic idea is we have to alternate 29 and 30. As opposed to saying that let's say we'll say 1 month begins let's say at sunset and the next month will begin at sunrise at the time of the next molad. You don't do that. A month can only consist of a whole number of days.
All the months is 29 days, or all the months is 30 days.
No, because then you're going to end up that the Rosh Chodesh is going to be too far from the molad.
Right.
The whole point is you want that the molad should be within a reasonable amount of time, or within a reasonable distance from Rosh Chodesh. If you put all the 29-day months jammed in together at the beginning of the year, for example, then you're going to wind up having that the moon's not going to be visible until 2 or 3 days into the next month.
And you want to be the maximum, what, one day?
Maximum, yeah. I mean, the fixed calendar that we use nowadays, the molad can sometimes be as much as a little more than a day before Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
But in those times, it was a similar idea. I mean, we learned in Rosh Hashanah that the moon is invisible for about 24 hours after the molad. We talked about the details over there. So therefore, yeah, I mean, practically speaking, you'd have the molad would generally be the day before or 2 days before Rosh Chodesh. But you definitely don't want it to be after. Mishnah said, "I was man at the Kohenim, at the time when the Kohenim and the people brought wood, but the 9 times a year that we mentioned in Tainus, but Tisha B'av, Chagiga B'Hakel, all those things, ma'achrin v'lo ma'chdimin." Now, why is that? Gemara says, "Tisha B'av, we want to delay, we want to put it to Sunday because Akdumi put on us lo ma'chdimi. We do not want to move up a put on us, something that has to do with punishment. So therefore, instead of moving it back to Thursday or Friday, better we should delay it to Sunday." As we're going to say on Amud Beis, Rebbe said, "Kivin de nidcha yidcha." Once it's been pushed off, let it be pushed off completely. But we don't agree with that, maybe. But at least we don't want to move it up. Yeah. Chagiga v'hakel. What about chagiga and hakel? Why don't we move them up? The reason is mishum da'akati lo matas man chiyuvayu, because the time for the chiyuv has not come yet. Chagiga, the mitzvah of chagiga only begins on Yom Tov. If you bring the Chagiga Erev Yom Tov, we went back and paid in Pesachim, you're not even Yotze with it. You're not Yotze, your mitzvah of Shalmei Chagiga. So necessarily you have to bring it beginning the first day of Yom Tov. So we learned in Beis actually that the Shammai holds that an Oilo you can't bring on Yom Tov before. We're going to have that soon in the Gemara over here. You can only bring a Shlomim on Yom Tov. If it comes out on Shabbos, even Beis Hillel agrees you can't bring a Shlomim or an Oilo. You can only bring public Korbanos, not the private ones. So therefore, that's what we're saying in the Mishnah over here, is if the first day Yom Tov comes on Shabbos, you can't bring the korbanos on that day. So necessarily you delay it to Sunday, the first day of Chol HaMoed. That's chagiga. And hakel is when the king would read from the Sefer Torah. So what's the issue with having? So that was supposed to be, the pasuk says it's supposed to be b'moyed shnas haShemitah b'chagas Sukkot, right after Shemitah is over. I'm Sukkot. It's actually supposed to be the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. The 16th of Tishrei. If that day comes out Shabbos, then you delay it to the next day. Now, why is that? Again, because we're saying the time. So why b'chol can't you have? Why? What's wrong with having hakel on Shabbos? What's wrong with the king standing up there and reading on Shabbos? There's three different reasons that are given. One is Rashi says over here one reason is because what happens by hakel? You're supposed to bring hakel atam ha nashim v'atzaf. That's mean men, women, and children, even babies. If it's Shabbos, are you going to carry them there? That's one explanation. Number two, Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi. The reason is they used to set up a wooden platform for the king to stand on or sit on, whatever, to read. Now that wooden platform, you can't build it on Yom Tov, and you can't build it on Shabbos. So in a regular year, when the second day of Sukkot, when the first day of Chol HaMoed is a weekday, then fine. You wait till Matzah Yom Tov, you build the platform then, and then the next day the king can sit on it and read. If the first night of Chol HaMoed comes out Friday night, you can't build the platform then. Now, why does so? And then the Yerushalmi continues. Okay, so why don't you build it before Shabbos in that case? The reason is because before Yom Tov, that is. The reason is the Yerushalmi says because then it'll be crowded. As it is, the Azara is very crowded on Yom Tov, and with everybody coming Luro for Lahiroi and putting the Korbanos and everything. If you had this big wooden bima taking up space over there, it would be even worse. That's one reason, and then another Meforshim talk about, maybe the Yerushalmi itself mentions it also, I don't remember, that another reason is because the Torah says you're not allowed to plant trees in the Azara, like Sita Lacha Shero Kaleit. Midrabanan, you're also not allowed to build anything made out of wood as a permanent structure in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam talks about that in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. The platform is made out of wood, exactly. So if you build it for one night and then you take it down the next day, fine, a temporary thing, that's okay. But if you're leaving it up there over Shabbos for a couple of days, it's already a permanent enough thing that can be an issue. Then there's yet a third reason that's given why you can't do hakel on Shabbos, and that reason is because they used to blow trumpets to announce to everybody it's hakel, you will have to come to the Beis HaMikdash. On Shabbos, you can't blow them. So for all those reasons, if the day of Hakel, the first day of Chol HaMoed, comes out on Shabbos, you can't do Hakel that day. Earlier than that, it's not the time of the Chiyuv yet. The Torah says that it has to be. The Torah says that it has to be on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. So necessarily, therefore, you delay it to the next day. What about now? The Mishnah did not talk. Now the Gemara rather did not explain why when it comes to Zman Atzakonim Va'am, these 9 days that when you bring wood. Why don't you do that on Shabbos instead of on Sunday? The Gemara doesn't talk about it. Rashi on the Gemara says that the reason is because they have a certain fixed time. They have, for example, the family of Orach that we learned over there had they had made effectively a neder that every year they're going to be bringing wood to the Beis HaMikdash on Aleph Nissan. Chof Tes Adar, which is Friday, the time of their neder has not come yet. Aleph Nissen is on Shabbos, they can't, but Beis Nissen is the earliest time when they're able to bring it after their neder takes effect. No, because they didn't have a choice. Rashi on the Rif gives a slightly different explanation. He says the reason is because if you did it on Friday, you'd be honing in on the time from the previous family. The previous family is supposed to bring wood, let's say, from Aleph Tevis until through Chof Tes Adar. If you bring your wood, Chof Tes Adar, you're coming into their time.
Very bold details.
The Rebbe once talked about in a sicha in Chelik Lamed Gimel, not Lamed Gimel, sorry, in Chelik Yud Tes, where the Rebbe talked about. To reconcile these two statements of Rashi, we don't know if Rashi is actually the one who wrote on the Rif, but whoever it was compiled from Rashi or whatever, that basically what it is like this. If it weren't for the problem that you're honing in on the previous family's time, then yes, we would assume that when you make the neder, you know that sometimes Aleph Nissen or Chof Tammuz or whatever is going to come out on Shabbos. So then we would assume that you meant the neder to take effect as of the day before, as of Friday. only because you have another family whose time it is at that time, therefore you couldn't do that, and therefore necessarily it has to be delayed for the next day. So these two explanations in Rashi over here, and in Rashi on the Rif, supplement each other. Maybe, but we can't, you know, I mean, you'd have to get the whole family to agree, you know. When they made a Yom Tov on that day, we talked about Antinus. Yeah, they brought the wood. Some of the Rishonim say that they also brought animal carbonus on that day. They made it a Yom Tov, yeah. Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Chagiga b'chol zman chagiga ma'achrin. The chagiga and the whole time of the chagiga, we delay. I understand what you mean by saying that the chagiga is delayed. If the first day of Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, ma'achrin l'levos haShabbos, that you delay the bringing the chagiga till after Shabbos, because like you said, you can't bring German davus on Shabbos, you can't bring private carbonus on Shabbos. Elos non chagiga ma'ihi. What do you mean the time of the chagiga is delayed? What does that mean?
Cannot delay time.
Yeah. Amar Rav Oshia. What it means is like this: chagiga b'Shabbos, that the chagiga. You, that the chagiga you delay if it comes out on Shabbos, but olas re'iyah filu b'yomtiv, and the olas re'iyah, which also the time when you're supposed to bring the olas re'iyah, we're going to learn in chagiga in a couple of months that when you come to the Beis Mikdash on Yom Tov, you're supposed to bring an olas re'iyah and a shamah chagiga. The time for both of them begins at the same time on the first day Yom Tov. But what we're saying is that if the time of the olas re'iyah you delay even when it comes out on Yom Tov. Dizman chagiga, which is the time of the chagiga ma'achrin, that we delay that. Meaning, in other words, like this: when it says chagiga b'chol zman chagiga, means like this: the chagiga itself you delay, and anything else that's supposed to be brought at the same time as the chagiga also gets delayed. Even if it's not Shabbos, even if it's only Yom Tov. Well, the Gemara says mani bet shamayi. That brisa doesn't necessarily have to be according to bet shamayi. The Tanan we learned in Beitza bet shamayim mevi and shlamim v'yom tov ve'en tzayim chalalim. You are allowed to bring shlamim on yom tov. You're not allowed to do smicha on them because smicha involves leaning on the animal. That's ultimate rabbanon. You're not allowed to use, you know, you're not allowed to ride on an animal if you use it in any way on yom tov. So bet shamayi holds we keep to that even on yom tov. You're supposed to do smicha before you bring the korban. Do smicha the day before. The Mishnah in Chagiga talks about that this is the famous machloikas. It wasn't just the Shammai Vasilo. This is the famous first machloikas between the Zugas, between Yosef and Yazir and Yosef and Yechanan, which continued throughout the generations of the Zugas, where each generation, one of them said that you should be Samech and the other one said you should not. So, Avaloi Olas, but Shammai says you cannot bring Olas, because we learned in Beis over there, because of Shlomim, Mela, you're going to be eating. You're going to be eating the meat of it. So therefore, you can shecht it on Yom Tov, same as you can shecht a regular animal to eat the meat on Yom Tov. But Olas all go on with that. That the Shammai says, that the Pasuk says, Lachem, Yom Tov is only for you, meaning V'loi L'Gavoya. You can't be shechting private club on it, but only going to the mission. Hello? I remember being shlomim and olus the same kind of way. And whereas the Tillel says you can bring shlomim and olus on Yom Tov because they learn lochem means below the shlomim, below the nachrim, whatever, but it means that you can't prepare food on Yom Tov for animals or but nothing stupid. So go to the Eidus. And so you can bring shlomim and olus this same kind of way. And the Tillel says you can be same kind of way. I the shavus. But you'll hold, take it for smicha shchitza. You have to shech right after you do smicha. So there's no choice. You can't do like the shama and do the smicha the day before. Necessarily, you have to do the shchitza. You have to do the smicha that day. Yeah. So therefore, so Rav Oshia's explanation is that's what it means, b'chol zman chagiga. It means anything else would be happening at the same time as the chagiga, namely, Ola, you also postpone, according to the shama. Yeah, when it comes, yeah. Well, according to the Shammai, even when it just comes out on Yom Tov, we're saying. Look at that, you dialed in. Mind muting yourself? Rava Omar, here's another explanation. Rava says, Chagiga kol zman chagiga ma'achrin. What it means is the chagiga can only be delayed throughout the entire time of the chagiga. Tfei loy, but not any later than that. Zichnan, as we learn in the Mishnah, Mishleh Chag B'Yamtav Edition Shachag, somebody who did not bring his Chagiga on the first day of the Yamtav, Chagig B'Holach of Kol Ragokula, he can continue bringing the Chagiga any time throughout the whole Yamtav, V'Yamtav Achan Shachag, as well as last day, when in the case of Sukkot, that means even on Shmini Atzeres. But Agar Ragu B'Loi Chag, but if the whole Yamtav passed and he did not bring the Chagiga, Ein Chayev Achri Yosef, then he's not Chayev to make it up, meaning he missed his chance, basically. So therefore, Rava says that's what it means. Kol man chagigam achrin means you have a certain amount of time and you can bring the chagiga, 7 days in the case of Pesach, eight in the case of Sukkot, but that's it. Whoever that is on the phone, by the way, and I don't know if it's Ellie or Naftali or whoever, if you do want to ask something, then press *5 to unmute yourself and then go ahead. Third explanation. Rav Ashi Yomar, it means chagiga b'cholzman chagigam achrin. It means when we say that the chagiga and the whole time the chagiga can be delayed, means v'afilu atzeret. Even when we're talking about Shavuos, the chad yomar, where the whole Shavuos is only one day in Eretz Yisrael, ma'achrin, you can still delay the carbon chagiga. You do not have to bring it on Yom Tov. And not only you don't have to bring it on Yom Tov, but actually what we're saying is if the Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, you can't bring it on that day. You have to bring it on one of the days after Shavuot. It's not, as we learn in another mission in Chagiga, Moedim, both Beth Shammai and Beth Hillel agree. Even though Beth Shammai and Beth Hillel have this machloika, now they have a machloikas over there about if Shavuot comes out on a weekday, or actually the machloikas over there actually is if Shavuot comes out on Friday, so Beth Shammai says you have what's called Yom Tvoyach after Shabbos, the day that you're supposed to bring the Olos. Because you can't bring them on Friday according to Beth Shammai. You can't bring them on Shabbos according to everybody. So therefore, Beth Shammai says necessarily. Therefore, you have a Yom Tovayach on Sunday, the day when you shech the karbanos. As opposed to Beth Hillel says, in that case, you don't need a Yom Tovayach. You just bring them on Friday itself. That you Beth Hillel holds, like we just said, you can bring Shlomo and Olus. But the Mishnah continues. Moedim, they all agree. Shein Chalat Seres, this for Shabbos. That if Shavuot comes out on Shabbos itself, she Yom Tovayach achar Shabbos. That you do have a Yom Tovayach the day after Shabbos. Because then necessarily you can't bring the Shlomim or the Oilos on Shabbos, so necessarily you have to bring them on Yisru Chag on Sunday. And this, by the way, is the Alter Rebbe explains in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, that even though Beis Hillel held that you are allowed to bring your Oilos on Yom Tov, in practice, we learned about this in Beisa, generally speaking, they followed Beis Shammai in that. They were machmir according to Beis Shammai not to bring their Oilos on Yom Tov. So therefore, regardless of what day of the week Shavuos was, always the day after Shavuos, or the day after Shavuos was on Friday, would be Yom Tovayach. And because of that, we have the halacha that Yisru Chag Shavuos is more stringent as far as the dinim that you're not allowed to fast and you're not allowed to make a fadim on it than the Yisru Chag of other Yom Tovim. The other Yom Tovim, the Yisru Chag is a matter of minhag. Yisru Chag Sukkot, that it has special dinim, is a matter of halacha. Because it's Yom Tovayach. Because the day when they would bring their karbanos.
What does that have to do with Esther?
Because of that, because they brought their karbanos, therefore it's a day of extra simcha, and therefore you don't do hetzmid. Yeah.
All the three,
yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Isn't that strange that you're not going to bring? It's supposed to be brought on a yomtiv, you're not bringing it because.
But that's according to Beth Shammai, you can't. So you don't have a choice. You bring it to one of you're still staying overnight. In any case, you're supposed to stay overnight after a yomtiv anyhow. So like this, if the next day is a weekday, then you'll bring your korban that day, and if the next day is Shabbos, then you'll have to stay over till Motzei Shabbos, that you can't travel on Shabbos. Actually, we did have in Rosh Hashanah that we did discuss at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos discussed over there the question whether when it comes to Shavuos, whether you need lino or not. But okay, you do what you have to. If you can't bring your oila on Yom Tov according to Beth Shammai, and again, Beth Hillel was tended to be machmir like Beth Shammai, and that okay, necessarily you'll have to stay over an extra day and bring it then. New thing. Since we talked in the Mishnah about delaying Tisha B'Av, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, Rebbe Natan Netziah b'Purim, Rebbe one time planted a tree on Purim, the rochat the kroina shal tzipori the shiva of Tammuz, and he bathed in the kroina of tzipori on shiva of Tammuz. What's the kroina shal tzipori? Rashi says it's meloshet koroin, which means wagons. It means like on a market day, in at a time when all the wagons are in town. Then Rebbe publicly went to the bathhouse. The Aruch has a different explanation that says on the side over here that a spring, the Greek word for spring is kroini or something like that. and therefore it means he bathes in the spring of Sukkot. Anyway, on Shavuos v'Tammuz, or Bikish Lako Tisha B'Av, and then he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av, which the Pashto sounds like it means like that you shouldn't have to keep Tisha B'Av at all. We'll talk about in a second what exactly this means. V'loi Hoidulai, but the Chachamim did not agree with him. So this is what we said that Rav Elazar said in the name of Rav Chanina. So Rav Abba Bar Zavda tells him, Rebbe, loy kachoye maisa. That's not the way the story happened, he said to Rav Elazar. Ella, Tisha B'Av shechalias b'Shabbos hava. What happened was, this wasn't just any old Tisha B'Av. This was a Tisha B'Av that fell out on Shabbos. Udchinuhu l'achar Shabbos, so we delayed it till after Shabbos, because you don't fast on Shabbos. V'omar Rebbe, hoyo v'nidch yidcha. So Rebbe said, the famous expression, once it's been pushed off, let it be pushed off completely. You know, he said a similar thing, right, that once you're delaying back before Shabbos, then you may as well go back to the, the Rebbe, in fact, once talked about that the Rebbe is going according to his own shita in this, V'loi hoidu chachamim. But the other chachamim did not agree with him on that. So that's what, it's not just that some year Rebbe decided to that we shouldn't be fasting Tisha B'Av, but with a specific case, when you're anyway not fasting on Tef, you're fasting on Yud.
Cody. What does the rabbi say? That you have to fast on...
They would say you have to fast on Yud in that case, because Yud is Nidcha from Shabbos. So wait, I'll tell you in a second what a couple of different Mepharshim say about this. Cody Alei, so Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Abba Bazeh, he quoted about him the Pasuk, Tov Mashnayim in Echad, two are better than one. So Rashi says that means that he was telling him as a praise. He's telling him it's a good thing, you know, I wouldn't have known. Now you help clarify it for me. He said, you know, having two people that know the truth now is better than what I thought. In other words, I agree with you. The Ritva actually says the other way around, that Rabbi Elazar is telling him on the contrary. He's saying, you're telling me that that's the way the story happened. Very nice, but you're only one person. I have myself and I have my teacher, Rabbi Chanina, who told it to me. So the two of us are Masara of two is better than yours of one. Anyway, so what exactly is going on over here? Why is he bathing in public in Sipuri on Shavuos v'Tammuz, and why is he trying to take away Tisha B'Av? So as far as the bathing on Shavuos v'Tammuz, there's two possibilities. Tosfos says that Of course he didn't eat. It's fast day. But he held that he wanted to show that the restrictions of Shavuot v'Tammuz and all the other minor fast days are just that. That you're allowed to bathe and so forth. They're not like Tisha B'Av in that sense. So that's and therefore he made a public demonstration of that. There are some of the other Rishonim who explain that actually Rebbe was trying to say that no, in our time when there's peace, so this was the Rebbe lived in the time when Antoninus and the Romans and the Jews are getting along or whatever. He held maybe that indeed we don't have to keep the fast at all, like we said before. And in times like that, it's optional. But v'loy hoidu, the Chachamim did not agree with him with that because already it's been accepted as a given. Then as far as the Tisha B'Av thing. Again, Tosfos argues that all he meant, he didn't want to be Oikir Tisha B'Av altogether. What he meant was, he wanted to say, Tisha B'Av should be like the other lenient fast. You should be allowed to bathe on it, you should be allowed to eat, to wear shoes, etc. It should be like Shavuos v'Tammuz in that sense. It should not, you know, according to Rabbi Elazar's version, it's any Tisha B'Av, and according to Rabbi Abba Zavda's version, only a Tisha B'Av, which is Nidcha anyway. And again, the Chacham did not agree with him on that.
Even in this favor.
Yeah. Second possibility, Tosfos says, is that what Rebbe meant was that in general, the fast should never be on Tisha B'Av. We learned at the end of Tainis that Rabbi Yochanan had said, given that the Beis Hamikdash was set on fire on Tisha B'Av, but most of it burnt on Yod Av, that he would have preferred to make the fast on the 10th. Rebbe held according to that shita, we're saying over here. Rebbe held that Tisha B'Av should have been not on that the fast should not be on Tisha B'Av, but rather on Yod Av. But the Chum didn't agree with him because, like we said there, they said that they started on the 9th, and that's more serious. There's a famous expression that the Friedrich could ever once quoted in a Sikha, the Kedavim Maharash, one year when Shavuos v'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, I forget which one it was, fell on Shabbos. I mean, in a year when one falls on Shabbos, the other one does too. That he said we're saying over here, Hoyel v'Nidcha Yidcha, that Halavai should be Nidcha completely. So the Rebbe has a long, interesting sicha in Chelik Lamed Gimel about in Chelik Yutes actually about this, discussing what exactly does this mean? I mean, it's a very nice wish, but what does it actually mean, the halacha? The gist of it is the Rebbe explains that a fast like Tisha B'Av or Shavuot Matamos and the rest of them, I mean, on one level, it's a sad day. But on another level, it's a Yom Ratzon. The pasuk called it we had the other day in Tanya, that a fast is a Yom Ratzon L'Hashem. When the fast comes out on Shabbos and it's Nidcheh to Sunday, you have the Yom, it's a Yom Ratzon, but you're not having to fast. You're able to accomplish the same thing through the eating and drinking. If you're eating and drinking in a way where you're not feeling the enjoyment of eating and drinking, you're eating and drinking purely L'Shem Shemayim. Rebbe was on that level. We find the famous thing in Ksubos that when Rebbe was passing away, right before Rebbe passed away, he lifted up his fingers and he said, throughout my life, I've never had hanah from this world, even though he was one of the richest people of his times. But he never actually, anything that he used from this world was purely l'shem shemayim. It was purely for the sake of Hashem, not for any benefit he got out of it. So therefore, Rebbe is arguing, Hayot Nidcha, once Tisha B'Av or whichever other fast has to be pushed off from Shabbos. And therefore, you having Shabbos itself is the Yom Ratzon, what do you need to do the fasting for on Sunday? Let it be Nidcha completely. The Chachamim did not agree with him because they said, look, not everybody's on that level. Meaning, let it be, meaning in other words, you shouldn't have to fast that year because you've accomplished what you need to on the Yom Ratzon with eating. Whereas the other Chachamim disagree with him on that. So what the Rebbe Maharash was saying, what the Friedrich Rebbe added to that then, is that halavai, there should come the time when people are on that level that Rebbe is talking about, where yes, because the fast day came out on Shabbos and you did not fast that day, therefore you accomplished what you needed to on Shabbos itself and you do not need to fast on Sunday. Amen. Now, the question is, the Gemara asks, Rebbe hasting nothing a tzibah for him. How is Rebbe planting a tree on Purim? While Tani Rav Yosef, Simcho Mishtav Yomtev, the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther that Purim is a day of happiness and feasting and Yomtev. Simcho Malamet Shasur and Behespin. Now we're saying that the day of Simcha teaches us that we're not allowed to make a hesped. Mishtim Malamacha also b'tainus. And when it says Mishtim means you're not allowed to fast. But Yomtev Malamacha also b'asi is malacha. And when it says that the Yomtev means you're not allowed to do work. Planting a tree is malacha. Ella, the Gemara says, okay, Rebbe bar Abbe Sahava. Rebbe was in a city where Purim is celebrated on the 14th. He was not in a walled city. V'chinata b'chameisa nata. He planted the tree on Tetzvav. So it's not a problem. When we say not on a team of Purim, we mean in some places in the world it's Purim, but in his particular city it's not.
Purim is considered like a Yom Tov season.
So you couldn't plant on your Dada, the Gemara is assuming at this point, but you could plant on Tesrav if you're Right. So the Gemara asked back, Aini, is that so? Well, Rebbe but Tveria have it, but Rebbe lived in Tveria. Tveria was surrounded by a wall from the times of Yeshua. The Gemara is going to talk about that later on this Amud and more tomorrow as proofs for that. So therefore, on the contrary, in Tveria they celebrate Purim on the 15th. Nowadays they don't. Nowadays in Tveria they celebrate on the 14th, and I think they also read on the 15th without a bracha for the reason the Gemara is going to talk about in a bit, because there is actually a topic about Tveria in the end. But right now the Gemara is assuming that in Tveria definitely Purim is the 15th. Ella, so okay, the other way around. Rebbe bar Chameisa Hava, fine. Rebbe was someone who celebrates Purim on the 15th because he was in Tveria. But Chinata bar Abbe Sahava, fine. On the contrary, when he plants, he plants it on the day, which is Purim for most of the rest of the world. You're telling me that Rebbe knew for a fact that Tveria is surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. But we find that Chizkiah, who is one of the Talmidim of Rebbe, read the Megillah in Tveria on both the 14th and the 15th, because he had a suffix. Is it surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun or not? Chizkiah. And says, okay, so, fine, Chizkiah had a suffix about it. Rebbe, who was a generation earlier, knew for a fact that Tveria is. The city of Tveria, actually, the city of Tveria under that name was actually founded about 50 years before the Churban by one of the kings of that time, and was named after the Emperor Tiberius. So we're talking over a thousand years after Yeshua. But the Gemara is going to talk about later. Tiberius is in the city. The emperor Tiberius lived in the time of the second Mishnah. So, but the Gemara is going to talk about. We're going to talk about tomorrow that they had the Kabbalah that Tveria was built on. That the city of Tveria was built on the ruins of an older city that went back to the time of Yeshua, as mentioned.
But the chaimah was there.
As long as the chaimah was there in the time of Yeshua, we said yesterday, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it didn't matter if it collapsed.
But the suffix the Gemara is going to say soon is a different one. Why Chizkiah has suffix? The Gemara says, so what? So if Rebbe knows for sure that Tveria, you keep Purim on the 15th, does that mean you're allowed to do work on the 14th? But Megillas Tainis, mentions, when it mentions all the Yom Tovim. Okay. It says in Megillas Tainis that the Yom Abba also Yom Chamisha, also the 14th and the 15th, Yom Puraya Inun, they are the days of Purim, Delilah Misbad Bahon, they're not to have on them. The Amar Rava, why does Megillah Tainis have to mention both the 14th and the 15th? We know them from the Megillah. Lo Nitzricha, Ella, Lasser Es Sholzeb, Zeb Es Sholzeb, Zeb. The Megillah Tainis is coming to tell us that people in regular cities are also not allowed to do Hesped and Tainis on the 15th, and conversely, people in walled cities are not allowed to on the 14th. And the Gemara is assuming that the same thing applies to Malacha. If we're saying that 14th and the 15th are on an equal level, that just because you read the Megillah on the 14th doesn't mean that you're allowed to make a hesped on the 15th. The Gemara is assuming the same thing. If Malacha is also on the 14th for a regular city, then it's also for them on the 15th. Although I did read an interesting thing that when Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away, he passed away on Tainis Esther. By the time they brought his Aron to Eretz Yisrael, it was Shoshan Purim. They buried him, and they buried him on Har HaMenuchos in Yerushalayim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach announced that everybody should go out to the Levaya and they should make a spadim and everything, even though it's their day of Purim. The loophole was because he said this is a different. We're not talking about any person. We're talking about them.
Might have came late because we were going on Olivia.
I have no idea why it came late, but let's leave the history lesson for another time. Yeah. Anyway. The Gemara says no. Hani mili behesped v'tainis. You're saying the 14th and 15th are on an equal level. That's as far as hesped, and that's as far as fasting. Abba malacha yom echad v'tulay. When it comes to malacha, you're only off to the one day, and that's it. Yeah. Masini, you're telling me so. V'harav chazilahu gavra dehavakashadi kitne v'puria. Rav one time saw a certain person who was planting flax on Purim. V'latye, and he cursed it. V'lait samach kitne, and the flax did not grow. The Gemara is assuming at this point that what must have happened is the person was planting it on the other day of Purim. He was in a place where they read on the 14th, and he planted on the 15th. Why? Some of Purim say, because if it was actually on Purim itself, Rav shouldn't have just cursed him that the flax shouldn't grow. He should have put him in Cheder. Because if we're saying you're not allowed to do Malacha on Purim, then if the person is over on that, he should be put, yeah. The Gemara says no. Yeah, the Gemara says no. Hasam by Yom Ha'ava. That was actually on the day when the person himself is celebrating Purim. So yes, that's why Rav was upset with him. If he had done it on the next day, if he had done it on Shushan Purim, Rav wouldn't have had a problem with it. That's the chiddush. Yeah, that he didn't have to put him in chayrim. Yeah. But besides that, we're not finished the discussion yet. Anyway, we're assuming up to this point that you're not allowed, that there's actually an issur to do malacha on Purim. Now the Gemara says not. Rabba b'reid rava amma afilu tema v'yoyme. You could even say that this story with the flax happened on the person's own Purim. But hesped v'tainis kabilu alayu. The Jewish people accepted on themselves that they're not going to do hesped and tainis on either of these days. Malacha lo kabilu alayu. They did not accept malacha on themselves. Why? Originally, the pasuk says, and Megillah Esther describes how first it says they started celebrating Purim, and it describes the simcho mishnevi yomtiv, the expression that we said before. All of a sudden, but in the end, when it says that Esther wrote that Mordechai v'kibulah Yehudim es hasher chel lachos, that Mordechai wrote to them to keep it. It says lachos esim yimei mishnev simcha. It says to make them days of feasting and happiness. V'yilu yomtiv like siv. Taka does not say yomtiv. So therefore, in other words, you are allowed to do malacha on Purim after all, even on your own Purim. The El Rav, so that's how Rebbe can plant his tree. The El Rav, my time alati lahu gavra. Okay, in that case, then why is Rebbe cursing this person? Because dvarim mutarim v'achim nagu b'hen isur hava. Because this is the kind of thing where technically something is mutter, but there are people who are noyig that it's aser. No, not planting a tree. No, this is planting flax. Rav was this person was living in it. Technically, at this point in the discussion, the Gemara is saying you are allowed to do malacha on Purim. But there are certain places where they have the minhag not to. In such a place, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to break the minhag.
But
It was the 14th for Prazit, the 15th for Mokafim, whatever it was. But they had the minhag not to, and therefore this person is not supposed to do that. Well, ask you the Rebbe. Like, no, where Rebbe lived in Tiberia, they did not have this minhag, so therefore he's entitled to plant the tree on Purim. In Chassidus, in a number of places, in one of the Maamorim in Torah or on Megillas Esther, among others, it talks about the deeper significance of the fact that the Purim is a day that's mutar b'asiyas malacha, unlike the actual Yom Tov. The deeper idea of it basically is that the other Yom Tovim represent Nisim that are within Seder Shtal Shalos, and Purim represents Lamayim Seder Shtal Shalos, and that's why there's no malacha or non malacha. It's like a malacha or not is irrelevant on the level at which Purim takes place. Or another possibility, we are talking about that even in Rebbe's place, even in Tiberia, they did have the minhag not to work on Purim. So why is Rebbe planting a tree? Rebbe was planting a planting that has to do with happiness. To this nan, like we learned in Tainis, to the contrary, we said that if the 13 fasts that they did for rain passed and they still haven't had rain, we say they reduce, which basically means they eliminate their buying and selling, the binyan of Venetia, they're planting, they're building and they're planting, the Eirusin of Nisuin, the engagements and getting married, the Tana Allah, and we learned on that in a Braisa, that doesn't just mean any old building. Binyan means binyan shal simcha, means the building you're doing of happiness. The example is, Rashi says, for example, a person is building a base chasnus for his son, you build a special house that where the chuppah would take place. Where the chuppah and the sheva brachas would take place, and netiyah shal simcha. Oh, actually, not Rashi, the Gemara itself says it over here. Netiyah shal simcha. Eze o binyan shal simcha. What is a binyan shal simcha? Ze abona beis chasnus lubnoi. This is a person who builds a wedding hall for his son. And eze o netiyah shal simcha. Ze anatoya abona kisha malachim. This is malachim. This is somebody who's planting a tree for kittens, which we talked about then. Rashi also talks about it over here, that it means the kind of tree where, like, it has a lot of shade, and, like, they plant especially for kings to be able to relax and stroll and have picnics and whatever under it. Sort of. So then that's the kind of tree that Rebbe planted. So in that case, then, yeah, that kind of thing you're allowed to do on Purim. That's not a takeaway from the Simcha of Purim. Which actually, based on this, the posts can talk about, is a person allowed to get married on Purim? Usually we say a person's not allowed to get married on Yom Tov because they ain't having Simcha with Simcha. But over here, if we're saying you're allowed to plant a tree of Simcha, maybe you're allowed to get married on Purim as well. There are different days on it. The halacha is that, yes, you're allowed to have a wedding on Purim. I've never heard of anybody doing that, but you can. You can, yeah. Condition of command. Condition of safety, anyway. So the final halacha, as far as this is, you are allowed to do malacha on Purim, but in general, they're noyag not, and therefore, in particular, in general, they're noyag not to. You're allowed to do malacha that does not distract from the simcha of Purim, like Rebbe planting this tree, or like, for example, you know, people drive on Purim, people write shalach manas labels and whatever, but not malacha that will distract you from Purim. And if a person does, then like Rav over here with this guy with the flax, then like we said last week about working on Tisha B'Av, then the person is not going to see a simen bracha from that work. If you have a loss, that's different. A dover of it is different, yeah.
You can write as much as you want, but it's not as common.
I guess we'll stop over here and continue tomorrow, Rez Hashem.